The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We are celebrating every June 29th, and happens to fall on a Sunday this time, the Feast of the Saints Peter and Paul. Peter right here to the left, immediately to the left of the tabernacle, holding the keys of the kingdom of heaven, what we just heard read. That's almost always he's in iconography and statuary is presented as holding the keys. And on the right, we have St. Paul with the sword and the book, the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Word of God, and the book, the scriptures. And really, they're the two most key figures of the early church, if you had to boil it down. I mean, Jesus and Mary aside, but of the early church. Peter being the rock on which it is built, the leader, the authority figure, the one who is entrusted with guiding and shepherding the church in its entirety. And then Paul, whose heart is set ablaze and commissioned and is validated by the rest of the rest of Peter and the rest of the apostles to go out and spread the faith. And we have two very different individuals here, not just in their mission, but like who they are. And I think as we look into this a little bit, it can help us identify a little bit with maybe one or the other, or in some way with both. Peter's the fisherman. We kind of suppose that all those years out in the boat that he was a little bit more of a rough character. But at the same time, he was out there so much with his, he was married. He was out there with his brother and his friends, John and James, a lot. But he was 3 years with Jesus. His brother was the first one to meet Jesus and be called, and then his brother immediately goes and calls Peter and says, "Hey, you got to meet this guy. I think it's the Messiah." And he said, "Oh no, what's going to?" And so he goes, and he's immediately taken aback by who the Lord is. He is, in modern parlance, Peter was an early adopter. He spent so much time with our Lord. Peter had a big heart, and he was. It's often talked about how, in a certain way, he was impetuous, and that big heart would allow him to like jump at opportunities, situations, and but it's a heart driven by love too. And that when a Lord says that, he's like the first one doing this and the first one doing that, it just leaps right in, and maybe he's like, okay, we'll figure out the rest later. And maybe part of that was why at the Last Supper, when Jesus said, "Hey, I'm about to be crucified," Peter says, "No, we'll never leave you behind. We'll never betray you. And even if we have to face death, I will not betray you." And we know that within just a few hours, Peter would do exactly that. He'd betray the Lord, or not betray him. He would deny that he even knew who Jesus was, this great friend of his soul, this one for, "Lord, who should we follow? You have the words of eternal life. You're the Son of God." Peter knew exactly who he was and loved him deeply. but he was a weak man. Paul was, as we know, a Pharisee. He was a scholar, highly educated in the upper echelons of the different rabbinical schools, of Gamaliel. He was very single-minded and extremely focused. This would be somewhat, I mean, I don't know, I've never heard anyone say this before, but it's almost like he's so intense and focused just on this, you wonder, like, maybe he's a little on the spectrum or something, but he's not impetuous the way the Peter is, but rather he's a highly antagonistic, conflictual individual. Like, everywhere he goes, he ends up getting sideways with whoever it is he's trying to bring to the faith, pretty much. First goes to his fellow Pharisees in the synagogues and preaching. What happens? Kicked out. Doesn't sound successful to me. Goes another place, kicked out, gets in a fight, gets stoned, gets in a fight with his own preaching companions. And so this is someone, and with Peter himself in Antioch, they get in there and he goes in there and says, okay, Peter, I'm calling you out because you're doing this and you're making him get circumcised and you shouldn't do that. By the way, Peter did the same thing. He made one of his own followers get circumcised so as not to scandalize the Jews. But anyways, so he's a combative figure. But that very drive and that very willingness to push through anything brought the word, brought the good news all over the western part of Near Asia, as we might call it today, and all the way through Greece and into Rome. But he was also weak in that combativeness. That very combativeness made him not open to hearing the gospel when it was first presented to him. He was one of the ones standing there when Saint Stephen was stoned to death, consenting, supporting, and he's going out and he's arresting as many. It's like he said, man, this guy has got a hard heart. As I heard somebody say it recently, a great southern expression, man, he's as hard as woodpecker lips. I don't know, that's not New Yorker, but that's like out in the countryside. And he was. It really was. Woodpeckers don't have lips, by the way. But in both cases, Peter, a little rougher of a character, Paul, this combative, he would have not been someone you'd enjoy hanging around with. Because no matter what the conversation topic is, you're probably getting in a very intense and heated debate. And our Lord calls both of them. And he calls them knowing their weakness, knowing their sinfulness, both present, past, and future. Paul was so stubborn, our Lord had to give him a special crutch, a special thorn in the side. And Paul recognized it. You know, this is from the Lord. It's supposed to keep me humble so I don't get too inflated, too full of myself like I used to be. Now, I heard this whole concept, why does our Lord not pick better people? Why does he go to these, like, okay, broken characters with all these flaws in them? Well, honestly, I think that makes him in a certain way more relatable for us. In that, well, maybe he could call me then. Maybe he could have something important for me to be doing. As soon as we think about, though, often, what gets in the way is that, no, but not me, because I try, but, you know, I fall this way, and I'm no good. And it's almost like as soon as we start thinking in that way, the devil, like, jumps on top of that. And he starts, yeah, you are like that. And you're unfaithful in this, and you're not good at that. So you don't really know how to pray, by the way. And you miss Mass a lot, and you do this, and you're really sinful in these other things. I don't even have to mention it, because you yourself know how bad you are and how wretched you are in this, that, and the other thing. One of Satan's names is the accuser. So he loves to accuse us of our sins. Look at you. Especially when right after we fall in some meaning point, like, look at you. Look how ungrateful you are. Look, you meant not to do that, yet you did it anyways. And yet, by the way, if you ever hear that voice in your head, that's who's talking. It's the devil. I hear it too. And pretty much everybody that comes into the confessional also hears it too. The accuser, he's really good at that. He calls us by our sins. He calls us names. I heard a podcast just about a week ago. I wish I would have thought of it, or this phrase. It says, Satan knows our name, but he calls us by our sins. But the Lord knows our sins, but he calls us by our name. I wish I came up with that. Even after they've fallen, our Lord speaks to Peter and Paul both by name. He's after the resurrection, after Peter's denial, they haven't quite reconciled yet. You know, there's kind of a little bit of a tension there, something unresolved. And they're on the shoreline. They've been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. And our Lord calls them to the shoreline, feeds them breakfast. And then Peter still, he's like, his heart's still broken. And Jesus calls him by name. Simon, son of John, do you love me? He's like, of course I love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, of course, Lord. You know that. Simon, son of John, do you love me? The Lord calls us by name. He knows the love we're capable of. He also knows how we run up time and time against these limits, and he wants to heal us. He wants to forgive us if we accept it. He does the same thing with Paul. On the road to Damascus, he's knocked off the horse. There's a blinding light. Paul is struck blind, and he hears his voice saying, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Our tendency would be to call a person by their sins. Paul, Paul, will you knock? Or we'd say, you idiot, stop persecuting me. You're getting in the way. I mean, that's the way we react when people are an obstacle to us. But the Lord, his heart, even though he can be clear, in a certain sense stern, but maybe not, definitely not in some kind of a hard-hearted way. It's stern, but in a way that's this kind of tough love, or a love that is going to pierce right through all the calluses and all the hardness in the walls and say, Paul. And Paul hears it as somebody who knows him, even though he doesn't know the Lord yet. So what I would like you to do here is I want to turn this phrase around, because our Lord asks Peter in the gospel where we just heard a little bit ago, who do people say that I am? And he asks, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter responds, you are the Son of God. I want you to spend time actually thinking about that. And actually, and if you can, turn it into a prayer, and a prayer that maybe something along the lines of what Peter or Paul might have done at some point, and say, well, Lord, who do you say that I am? And listen to the Lord say your name. He knows your name. He calls you by name. He knows your sins, yet he doesn't throw that in your face. He calls you forward. Let him remind you of what your identity is. Let him remind you of who you are to him, that he knows you, loves you, and he still, every day, calls you forth.